Okay, so I'm going to continue on head versus heart faith, and it's really God prompting me to do this. I have like a good 20, maybe even 30 different subjects that I could be teaching on, that I have the messages, and God keeps me on this because this is an entryway, people, to what's coming. It's very important for us. Amen. Without faith, you can't contact God. Without faith, you don't know God. Without faith, you can't receive from God. Without faith, you can't get born again. Without faith, you're not going to make it to heaven. So faith is important. Amen. Praise God. So this picture, I changed it a little bit. So you see the guy in, I don't know what that would be, the guy with all the books. I don't know my left from my right, going this way. So all the guy with the books. And what it is, people, is there is, and all of us should be like that, where we read books, we attend conferences as we if we can, certainly read the word over and over again to the place where you almost, Jasmine, hi, sweetie. I'm sorry, she's from Chicago visiting. So say hi to her after service, please. So the books, you know, are important, but we have to be very careful. We have, in fact, Pastor, he belonged to a campus group that really majored on the intellectual side of Christianity. In fact, they were very afraid of anything supernatural, anything spiritual. They did not believe in the Holy Spirit in the sense of him entering you, you speaking in tongues, and the works and signs that we can actually accomplish in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, that's one side, and we all should start there. In fact, I'm getting ahead of myself, but and then you see the other side. This person is ablaze with the reality of God. This person has faith in God, amen, and it's in their heart. And you want to get yourself to the place where, yes, you bombard this up here. We need to be rewired, people, from the world that we came out of, and allow that word to filter into our hearts. Because that's where everything lies in regards to understanding God. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to work you out spiritually today. You'll see. So let me give you a quick testimony of what I'm trying to say. I think this might really help you why I'm making such a distinction, why God is making such a distinction. When I first got born again, we took off to Europe. We were there for a year because I was studying. And then we came back and then we started ministering and doing ministry. You know, there were times where, for us people, it has never been about the numbers. It has been about the hunger for God. We love to have people come because they are hungry for God and the word. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we were, you know, I was a little tiny baby. I had just gotten born again, like maybe 2 years or so. We started connecting. We tried really hard to get connected to churches. We even went, we would drive all the way into LA, and we went there several times, right, Lupe? Remember Ed Dufresne? Ed Dufresne, yes. And we would go and, you know, sit under the word. We didn't care what it took to get under the word. But we got connected with a main church that was being, it was exploding here in Orange County. And they were known for witnessing, going out and talking to people about Jesus on the streets, at home, wherever they could. Witnessing was their mainstay in that church. So Bill and I thought, hey, we need to start witnessing because that's all part. He had already been witnessing. He had already been doing it years before me because he's like 4 years older in the Lord. In the natural, I'm 3 years older than him, but anyway, he's older in the Lord spiritually. So anyway, we tagged into this church and we were really excited. And we started going a couple of Sundays. And then we found out when they meet to go out witnessing. And at this particular time, they were going into LA, into Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset Boulevard, trying to reach, you know, that group of people. Because, you know, sometimes people get overwhelmed, oh, the celebrities or the rich people and all that. So they were going there to evangelize. And we got really excited about it. So we went to this group meeting where they would get together and then they would pray and then they would disperse us and we would go wherever they told you to go witness. We walked into this huge study where they had several of us, and it was a home of the guy that was leading the witnessing. And from the floor to the ceiling, all four walls were full of books. And I walked in and I'm thinking, oh my God, this person really reads. And I started looking at the books, how to witness to Jehovah Witness, how to witness to Mormons, how to witness, you know, in missionary trips, all these different variety of books. And I was sitting next to Bill and I'm looking at this saying, what the, I don't know any of this. And I turned over to Bill and I said, Bill, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. I'm not ready to do this. And he said, baby, relax. I said, Bill, have you seen those books? I mean, I was talking to him. Look at those books. Look, do you know how to witness to those people? And you know what? We don't know what we're going to find out there. And Bill, he looked at me and he goes, baby, relax. Relax. He goes, look. He opened up a little tiny Bible. He used to carry little tiny Bibles. He opened it up to Romans 1:26. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to man unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And he looked at me, he had me read it, and he goes, are you ashamed? No, I am not ashamed. Oh, by then God was doing miracles after miracles in our ministry. He got me out of the convent. I became a born-again believer, walking by faith. I said, no, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. He goes, then go out there and share what you can. Share your testimony. Share how God has affected you. Amen. We went out that night, people, and that's the night that the pastor of that church went with his little entourage. And I'm not kidding you, I'm not trying to put it down, but it was very disheartening. They had him, you know, in LA, you have the front of the buildings, and then you have little coves where they enter into the different, you know, different shops and stuff like that. They had him in one of those coves, and he had like little bodyguards, three of them in front of him, so that nobody could affect him or hurt him. Because in LA, it can get really crazy. But he was in there, and I looked at him, I go, look at all the people that need Jesus. Guys, that night, based on that scripture, it blew up in my heart. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I love Jesus. I'm going to tell people about Jesus. With that in my heart, that revelation, I went out that night. The pastor never witnessed. Bill and I took off like rockets down the street, sharing tracks and so on. That night, I got 25 people born again. That night. My first time out. It's not about so much what we know here, people. It's what's alive in here. You can have one. You know how I got delivered in 1983 when I almost lost my life? You know how? One scripture that God had to give me in prayer, and it was only half of it. Do not fear, for I am with you. That's all I heard. And I said, oh my God, I'm not going to fear. You're with me. You're with me. A whole year of a trial. And I came through it because it was alive in me. God, you're here. You're here. Every night when I'd go to sleep, I'd lay down and I'd say, Father, please, please wake me up in the morning. Father, my child needs me. I cannot die. And I was very sick, people, very sick. So it's what's alive in here. The word has to go through your brain. It has to be read, okay? But understand that it's what's alive in your heart that's going to affect your life. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and tell them that was good. That's all by faith. So, here you go. Our scripture. This is very important, people. We're starting to see some really interesting things fulfilling prophecy. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Are we going to have faith, people? We know the word, but is it going to be in our hearts? That's where it matters. Amen? Faith has nothing to do with our senses. Notice how all the senses are located in the brain, not the heart. touch, taste, vision, hearing, smell. We've prayed for people in the past, you know, maybe someone came up with a lump or a horrible rash or something, and they'll look, you know, half an hour later, and it's like, oh, it's still there. It didn't work. We don't go by what we see. We go by what we know. Before this is over, you're going to see some things. And you've got to decide how much of God is in here that can override your senses. You know, your senses can lead you wrong. They really can. Amen? They have to be trained by the word of God. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Some people are waiting for a miracle. Some people are waiting for a sign. Some people are waiting to really see, you know, like a burning bush or something, to really believe. No, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Oh my God, if Pastor and I were moved by what we see, we would have moved to an island by ourselves and forgot about all of this, everything. We can't go by what we see. Now, what was the prophecy last week? Some of you were not here. The most powerful prophecy God has ever given me to give. In my estimation, it was the most powerful prophecy. What did he say? Okay, see how I can't go by what I see? He said this. He said, I crush all uncertainty in your life. He said, with me, you can be certain. Some of you are still afraid you're not going to make it to heaven. If you have received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior and you love him and you are doing your best to follow him, you're going. Amen. You can be certain of that. Three people are happy to go. See, I can't go by what I hear. Honestly. If you love Jesus and he is your Lord, then your name is written in the book of life. Amen. But he said, there's no uncertainty with me. I have promised you in my word. You can be certain. You can get healed. You can be restored. You can be in peace. You can have your family back. All of it, people. Amen. With God, there is no uncertainty. I am literally walking around people quoting that prophecy. I have said it a few times. Have any of you said it this week to yourselves, those that heard it? There's no uncertainty, people, in God. Why are we afraid? You should not be scared or nervous. God, is God a liar? No. Who's the liar?
The enemy.
The enemy, absolutely. Romans 8:24, but hope that is seen is not hope. But why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, cheerful and hopeful endurance. Now, we're heading towards what? What's the big event?
The rapture.
Oh, say it like you mean it.
The rapture.
But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, cheerful or hopeful endurance. How many of you are believing God for your body to be healed? I am. I could raise both feet, but I'd fall. But honestly, I'm serious. This little body thinks it's got a mind of its own. I got news for it. But if you're believing God for healing, here's your answer. But if we hope for what we do not see, yet we eagerly wait for it with perseverance, cheerful or hopeful endurance. And then Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance, the conviction, the support of the things that you're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's get away from that arena, people, that we've got to see in order to believe. And you may say to yourself, no, that's not really me. Oh my God, the economy is crashing. Oh my God, what do I do with my bank accounts? Oh my God, the gas is going up. Don't go by what you see. Go by the certainty that God's going to take care of you. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Mommy. Trusting the power of the word and not needing sensory, carnal confirmation. We got to walk away. We're on the edge still. We're afraid to take the big dive into the water, you know, and it's like, no, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know. Oh my God, Aunt Matilda is dying right now in the hospital. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if we pray for her, if she's going to be recovered. We got to remove all that uncertainty. Matthew 12:39. This is the centurion. But he answered and said to them, this is how Jesus looks at us trying to find a sign to believe. But he answered and said to them, an evil degeneracy from original virtue, diseased, morally culpable, an adulterous generation seeks after a sign, an indication. Lord, give me an indication that I'm healed. You got to endure with your heart faith until it manifests. There are things that I've been believing God, and man, I'm telling you, he is so faithful. Sometimes a year and a half in my body, and it begins to get better. It begins to get better. It's awesome. And then an indication, especially ceremonially or supernaturally. Oh, if pastors pray for me and I see the Shekinah glory and I see angels singing in the corner, then I know I got it. No ceremony here. And it doesn't even have to be supernatural. It's just a quiet confidence that once we pray, it's done. Amen. And then a miracle. We're looking for miracles. Well, I need a miracle and it hasn't come yet. Dude, miracles are far and few between. God actually, he moves because of compassion, but he would rather you get it by faith because now you know how to get it all the time on your own from him. Amen? I'm doing better preaching than you are amening. And then supernatural, a miracle, and a wonder. And no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. So God doesn't like it, people, when we say, Lord, you got to show me. I got to see something. He's not going to move based on that. Amen. And then Matthew 8:5. This is the centurion. Now, this is the reverse of a person that believed God without seeing anything at all. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion. I have to apologize. I didn't have coffee this morning. And I'm like, lost here. It's different without coffee. It wakes you up. Anyway, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Oh my God, imagine, Lord, they told me that I have Parkinson's disease. Lord, only speak a word. And what we do as believers now, because we have his word in book form, you go and find a word, amen, from Jesus. Trusting the power of the word and not needing central confirmation. For I also am a man under authority. This is a guy that understood how this all works. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He marveled. How would you like to have the kind of faith where Jesus marvels? It's doable. This guy wasn't even a believer. He was a centurion. But he understood how it worked. Amen? He marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. You know, we can impress the Lord. And how do we do it? Through our faith. And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. what strong faith looks like, people. Number one, the centurion came to him. When you are in need, and we are here always to pray for you. That's never going to stop. Well, you know, I should be growing up now. Dude, I go to my pastor. Get in agreement with me. God gave us the word for a reason. Amen. Bill, get in agreement with him. Let's pray. Get in agreement with us. Amen. But the centurion came to him. He didn't send someone and say, hey, ask that guy Jesus to come to me. No, he went to him. Look at this scripture, James 5:14. Is anyone sick? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. You have to call us for prayer. You know why? Does anybody think they know why? Because you're already demonstrating faith. You're already in a good posture. I know that if I call those people, I'm going to get help. So I'm going to call people and get an agreement. Amen? Plead, and number two, pleaded with him. Colossians 4:2. Continue earnestly, which means sincerely and intensely, in prayer. So I've seen people say, come on, God, you know, it's time for me to get healed. You need to do it now. He pleaded with him, Father, I need your help. We ought to approach the Father with that kind of heart, not a demanding, hey, you're supposed to help me. Come on, when are you going to help me? No, he pleaded with him, Father, please. So, number three, he was clear about what he was asking for. Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. He described it completely. Some people come up sometimes for prayer, and they're like, well, I don't know. You know, I think it might be this, but I don't know, and I need that. And, you know, no. People come up for prayer because their marriages are struggling. Pray for my husband. Pray for my... You know, open up his eyes, Lord. He needs to see the truth. He needs to see me. You know, I'm his mate, you know, and he should be loving me. People, come to God and say, Father, heal our marriage. Whatever we need to do, change both of us. Amen? So you have to know clearly what you want. James 4:3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. That means badly and miserably. Learn how to ask. In that year that I was dying in 1983, I learned how to ask. And I asked, and it came to pass, people. Number four, he was not commanding Jesus. He was not brash or demanding. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. He had a contrite and humble spirit. Psalms 34:8, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. The Lord will move on your behalf. If you have that heart, we're approaching God. Amen. He is holy. Amen. Make your posture that of the centurion. Number five, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Matthew 6:7, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Speak a word. All you need is a word. All you need is one scripture. I'm going to be handing out shortly to those that finish the believer's training first, a pamphlet that's 85 pages long. You're going to have more than one word. Speak a word. Get one scripture and speak that word over your situation. It's not like, Lord, we're not trying to impress God. And for you to sit there and say, come on, God, in 1983, I put this before you and I'm still waiting, God. But you know what, God, I'm going to say a lot of prayers right now and I know you're going to hear me. That's not how God works. Jesus got impressed when the guy said, speak a word. And I know it's done. Number six, he understood the power of command, of authority, and of words. People, this is why we're going to get judged for every idle word we speak. It's because our words are so powerful. Our words are so powerful. I thought I was the stupidest, dumbest. I was like an amoeba in high school My other sister got all the awards. My mom especially would go to all her ceremonies, and nobody ever said one thing. In fact, I was discouraged from studying until I was in high school, and I wrote a story. That it was one of our assignments. I wrote a story, and Mrs. Bell, I remember her. I remember how she looked when she changed my life with four words. The power of words. She came up to me. She was passing out the papers. She came up to me. I didn't think any teacher ever noticed me. I was invisible, people. She put the paper on my desk and she said, "Eva, this was good." And I said, "Oh my God." After that, I lost track of everything and everybody, her, the class, the bell ringing. I just sat there. I did something good. I did something good. This was good. People, I ran down, I skipped my next class, which I never did. I was very obedient, and went to my counselor, and I said, "Mr. DeLisa, I want to go to college." From those four words, in the span of the rest of the class time, it changed my entire life. I could think. I did something good. Power of words. When we call our children things we shouldn't be calling them, you're rewiring their brain and their destiny. One word, good or bad. You're a precious child. You're a good child. Amen? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now I've got your attention. You look like little owls with big eyes. You look so cute. So he understood the power of, oh, let's see. Okay, so go and he goes, and to another come and he comes, and to my servant do this and he does it. Mark 11:23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever, does that include you? Are you a whoever?
Yes.
Say, I'm a whoever.
I'm a whoever.
Amen. He said this. He said, for assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. A mountain. To be removed and cast into the sea. That's very symbolic of the mountains we face. This is insurmountable. I don't even know how this is going to happen. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Where?
In his heart.
In his heart. Your mind will tell you, you're stupid. That's a mountain. How are we going to get a mountain to be picked up and thrown? How? But your heart will tell you, I can do this. God said I can do this. Amen?
Amen.
Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. You're having whatever you're saying. You are having whatever you're saying. Then, number seven, then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. The centurion obeyed every step of the way. He told Jesus, just speak a word, and then Jesus prayed and commanded that thing, and then Jesus told him, he said, go your way. Once you pray, you can go your way. Oh, no, I'm really sick. I just can't really, you know, I'm going to say this, people, and trust me, this morning is by faith for me. Healed people go to church. If you're believing God to be healed, then you're healed. Oh, no, it's like, like in Zoolander, I have the black lung, Pa. No, seriously. That's how people are. It's like, oh, no, I think I breathed in too much, and now my head hurts, so I'm not going to church. You got to fight. This is a militant walk. It's not a stroll on a Sunday afternoon, and that's how we've been treating it. La-di-da-da. Oh, yeah. Oh, let's not forget God. Look at how pretty the trees. No, we're militant. You know how Pastor and I are still alive? Don't you think the enemy would attack us more than you all? Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. We're alive still because of that. We're militant. When you pray, it is never a joke to me. Never do I throw some words against the wall like we do spaghetti and hope it sticks. No, we pray. We lay down our stake for you. Amen?
Amen.
Is this good?
Yes,
I am. The admonition from the Lord. I want to see joy in the people of God, people. Amen. Praise God. Going forward, you will teach my people this truth, that in the spiritual realm, things are very black and white. I have some things, people, that God's been talking to me about that I could probably never share with you because you would fry at how much God is black and white. It's incredible. I am absolute in all things because in me there is no compromise. In me there is no deception. I carry no darkness or evil. Does God have like three quarters light and just a little darkness in him?
No.
Does God carry, you know, okay, maybe 80% good? He's very good. And then a little dash of evil? He's this. And we need to start imitating our Father if we want to end up with our Father. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Blame him. If this is too much, blame him. The time has come for my people to walk in the absoluteness of righteousness. Proverbs 11:23, the desire of the righteous, those who believe and have faith, is only good. So no more black and no more gray. If you choose fear, you are choosing Satan and his outcome. This is the law. This is a spiritual law. We got to get rid of the fear, people. Amen? We ought not to be afraid at all. I am choosing God, so I am choosing faith. If you choose faith, you are choosing God and his outcome. It's that simple. Adversity is an inevitable gift, but you are not required to offer it a seat. Oh my God, we've been in trouble for 5 years. No, you've made a whole, you've invited a guest into your house. It comes to all of us people. It comes and knocks on our door. Are you going to open it up? If some guy, I used to teach this, if some guy comes up to your door and he has a package and inside the package, you see it moving and you hear, and you know this is snakes. And he's like, I need you to sign for this because so I can deliver it. Are you going to sign for that? Why are we signing up for the things that are coming to our door? You stand up in the, just as it comes in and you say, I will not receive you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And then you go to pray. Amen. Hardship demands focused action. Have you been in the Word? Well, kind of, you know, I am really busy right now. And, you know, no, focused. It's focused and action. Not a permanent residency in your mind. Confront the obstacle before you without allowing it to dictate your action. Don't allow trials to dictate how you're going to behave.
Amen.
Seriously, people. You know how many heroes we have that didn't allow like a house burning or somebody trying to stab a little old lady in the street? They just confronted it and went after it. We have to start confronting what comes to us, not accepting, but confronting it. Some of us are running away from things instead of facing them. To dwell in misfortune is to willingly surrender your peace. I'm having such a hard day. Don't allow the devil to steal your peace.
Amen.
Face the storm. Dismantle the attack. How do we dismantle the attack? Huh?
Through the Word.
Through the Word. Yay! You just made me happy. Face the storm. Dismantle the attack with the Word. And return to the center, your heart. Stop living up here. But it looks so bad. It looks so bad. Oh my God, we got to call my niece. She was in a horrific car accident. They showed us the car. I don't even know how anything could have survived. It was an accordion. It was a smaller car. And she was, they did not expect her to live. She destroyed her spleen. She was bleeding internally. They didn't know the outcome of a lot of things because she was unconscious. And Billy and I, my brother, who was not a very active believer, called us and we went and prayed for her. We laid hands on her. She opened her little eyes while we were there, and we prayed for her. And that woman went on to live a very wonderful life. She has children. She's amazing. She's strong. Amen? But you can't be overwhelmed by what you see. Amen? Amen. And then never build a home inside your own suffering. Some people are camped out there. You don't understand. Oh, when I was a kid. And they go all the way back to when they can remember. Dude, I've had to, for your sake, for the people, I have to be an example. I have overcome so much in my life, people, you would not believe it. But you can do it. Amen?
Amen.
Never build a home inside your own suffering. Build the road out of it instead.
Amen.
Two words that describe God's word. Logos is the spoken word of God that feeds our souls primarily. When you open up your Bible, you are feeding your soul, and that is very good. The word has to go into your head first. Amen. If you don't lay your hand on it and say, okay, Lord, by osmosis, I'm going to know all these scriptures now. No, you literally have to read. You have to look at the words and you have to make sense of them and start feeding your soul. It is spiritual truth and information. When you open up your Bible, that's what you're going to get. Praise the Lord. To a great degree, it affects our souls with the knowledge of God and his concepts of faith. His concepts of faith. Amen. We've come up with all kinds of things. Oh my God, people, I have been seeing. I don't know why God is doing this to me. It's very, very grievous in so many ways. He's having me go through all the prophets. Oh my God. If you've lost the passion for your walk, go to the prophets. It's going to wake you up and see God in a whole new light. But right now, he kind of led me supernaturally, and I tagged into a whole bunch of YouTubes and TikTok and stuff. And right now, people, there are literal ministries that are saying, Monica, you need to be healed. You've already told me you've got this sickness. And if you want to be healed, I need $1,000 from you before you leave. God said he will heal you if you give me $1,000. That's what people are doing. So it's his concept of faith that we're going after, amen? Because it's holy. It's not man-made. When we start out, we have little knowledge of anything spiritual. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
It all starts with information flooding our souls, first as a babe, then as a child, and then as a mature man in Christ. And do not, and look at the scripture, and do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature in spirit, as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. And mind is focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is from the word, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you.
Amen.
The only way you're ever going to know the will of God, people, is in the word. Amen. And the only way you're going to change is start reading the Bible. I started changing right away just by reading logos up here when we first started. Just Brian, can you check that air? I am melting. And then Rhema comes out of the logos. You got to get the logos first. It's got to feed your soul. And the logos that we treasured, studied, and meditated on. Logos comes first. You're not going to get faith in your heart if you're not reading it and getting it in your soul. It's rewiring. The process of rewiring your brain happens through logos. But so logos comes first. But as we mature, we begin a true and profound search for truth. You know why you're sitting here today? because you love truth. I'm not kidding you. We do our best to bring you the truth from the Word of God after having studied it and proved it for many, many years. We're going on like 40 years now. Longer in ministry. We actually started three churches. You're the third. But truth. When you show up to church, look for truth. Don't look for a great message. Don't look, I've been having a hard week, so I need to be made feel good. No, look, come and search for truth. And a profound search for truth. And our desire takes us to that place where the Holy Spirit takes that logos, the word that we've been reading, that's in us, and turns it into rhema, into revelation knowledge. Rhema is what produces faith in our hearts. What produces faith in your heart? What produces faith in your heart? What produces faith in your heart? People, say it like you know it. I just read it to you. Rhema. It's revealed. When something is revealed, have any of you ever been reading the word and all of a sudden you go, oh my God, I never saw that. You just received rhema from the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you have read your Bible and you go, oh my God, I just read three chapters and I don't remember a thing? Be honest. I do that sometimes. Is that rhema? No, that was logos feeding my mind, at least, hopefully. You gotta have the logos so you can have it in your heart. God rewards our hunger for truth. This is when a Christian becomes a true disciple and a true believer. That's what happened to me in 1983, people. It's a cautionary tale for you. I've seen it happen to many other people. I had logos up here. I was a nice little pastor's wife. Oh, so sweet, so loving. You wouldn't even believe me in those days. Everything that Bill said, you know, I mean, like, we're going to move here. Okay. Everything. I was like a little amoeba just sloshing through life until I almost died. And that's when I submerged myself in the word and I started understanding, oh my God, this is a whole other level. I didn't know this. I didn't know this. Amen?
Amen.
Did you check the air? Oh, wow. It's hot. Maybe it's just me. Okay. God rewards our hunger. Say this with me. God rewards
my hunger.
Yeah. If you're just carelessly or out of obligation, oh, I've got to read my two scriptures. Oh, I've got to read two chapters today. If you're just doing that because you think you have to, that there's no reward in that. Honestly, it's when you're hungry. Father, speak to me. Oh, Father, I get to spend time with you. This is exciting, Lord. What are you going to show me today? Get hungry about it, amen. How do you describe your favorite meal? Oh, my God. Some of you go into details. And that when that salsa hits your belly, oh, my God. You go into details. You're hungry for your food. Let's get hungry for God's food, amen. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Amen. Praise God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, favored by God, are you Simon? Oh, this is when Jesus said, who do they say that I am? And they gave all kinds of answers. And then he said, but who do you guys say that I am? He was talking to his disciples. Peter answered, and he answered the right, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, spiritually secure, favored by God, are you Simon, son of Jonah? Because flesh and blood, mortal man, did not reveal to take off the cover, that is to disclose this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. That's what we want. We want the Father to start revealing to us what he has in his word. It'll change your life. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your family. It'll change your body. It'll change everything. A picture of true spiritual hunger. Look at this scripture, people. Psalms 119, 148. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. How much? Oh my God. It's time for our shows. I got to get one chapter in. Wait for me, guys. And we rush through it through the night watches every once in a while. So I'm going to skip tonight and I'm just going to spend time in the Word. Amen. Praise God. And on this rock, the revelation, the rhema, I will build my church. People, we've lived long enough to see all kinds of churches, all kinds of believers. It's the revelation of the Word of God that is God's church. They were tenacious about the Word. They hungered for the Word. They were sincere about the Word. They weren't playing games with God. They want God. They love God. They follow God. That's God's church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it. That's why we're still standing, people. We're seeing so many ministers die, people. It's very, very sad. We're going to go down fighting. No! No, I will not let this thing conquer me. Amen. Don't. If your life is based on Rhema, on the Word, you're not going to be overcome by hell. That was a good place to say amen. The rock is the foundation for God's true church. The rock is revelation knowledge. It is Rhema. Only through God's revelations out of his word can his church be built. The word of God is and must become the beginning, the middle, and the end of any believer. It is absolutely everything. Is the word of God everything to you?
Yes.
Then your life will reflect it, right? You will order your life around the word. I've worked, Bill works even now, and we found a way to keep the word active in our lives. Amen. Going after it. The separation has already begun. Please hear me. It's already begun. God is revealing the true from the false before his return. We're going to see changes, people. We're going to see a lot of things. You just endure. You be steady. You stay strong. Follow God, no matter what. Follow God. Say this with me. I declare.
I walk by faith and not by sight.
I trust God's promises. Because God is not a man that he should lie. And I know he is faithful.
I choose obedience over rebellion.
Hope over doubt.
Faith over fear.
And confidence in my God over anxiety. My life will be a testimony of God's enduring love. And that is my declaration. How are you going to get to heaven? I don't know where God was, man. Look at me. I'm all tore up. I went through hell. I was in a lot of wars. Or are you going to show up and say, God loved me till this second and for all eternity? I made it because of God's love. God's word shines like a light on life's path. His word guides every step. If you don't know what you're doing, if you are lost in any area of your life, get in the Word. Get in the Word. Satan's greatest weapon is man's ignorance of God's Word. Okay, so buckle your seatbelts. Yeah, I prayed so much. I said, Lord, if you don't want me to mention a word of this ever, I won't. But if you want me to give it, Father, you're going to have to let me know. And I got the message ready. I kept reading it, and it wasn't sitting right. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to do it. I have to have your peace on this. The last time I sat down, I read it, and the anointing exploded off of it, and I literally wept. I'm like, Lord, this is so profound. Here we go. Prophecy for Sunday, July 5th, 2026. God gave me a prophecy. Pastor got up here to teach on faith, and he literally quoted. He quoted what I had gotten from God as a prophecy. It was July 5th. It was the day after July 4th. We had very few people here. And I said, Lord, this is too important. I'm not going to give it. And I owe an apology to the people that were here because it would have confirmed the message Pastor taught, and you would have seen how much it was of God. But I'm going to give it to you now, and he wants me to give it to you now. If you are of God, you hear my sayings. If you are not of God, you don't hear my sayings. And without my sayings, you won't be capable of doing my sayings. And it is not the hearers of the law that are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Do not become fruitless spiritually, and so much more when the day of my visitation, my return, is approaching. Remember, before you can do the word, you must truly hear the word. So I urge you to pay heed. There is a tidal wave of offense that is coming, and it is an offense directed against the word, against me, like never seen before. The devil is very cunningly bringing offense to my body in an unprecedented manner, and my people are not discerning what this offense that they are experiencing is truly coming from. So that offense is manifesting in my people in many misguided ways. We're seeing it. I hear ministers at their wits' ends because they don't understand why people are doing what they are doing. This is so right on, people. People are becoming offended at my shepherds. My shepherds. Not everybody that's out there in ministry is a shepherd. It's God's shepherd. And at the end of the day, people are becoming offended at my shepherds and my teachers and at my churches. Some are even offended at the rapture. They no longer want to hear it. They will blame it on many things, not knowing that underneath it all, it is my word as God is teaching it, not the way they want to hear it, not the way they want to receive it. It is my word that has offended them. The great deception has begun. My word is no longer precious to so many. I have seen these people. There was one time that we had like almost 250 people at the building on Harbor. We had to get two buildings. And I saw this. Since that day, I've seen this. When someone is in sin or they're offended at the word, they wander around in the hallways. They go into some of the classrooms. They don't want to come in. Why? Because the word is strong. It will convict you. But it's supposed to be doing that to us people. They know also my word is no longer precious to so many. The words of eternal life. This is when Jesus was ministering to the 70, including his disciples, and the 70 ended up leaving. John Amato used to call them the fluff, that in your church, you're going to have 70 that are going to be offended and leave, and then the 12 that remain. This is what he said. Even disciples can get offended at the word. So you may sit there and say, no, the word doesn't offend me. I've got it. I'm a disciple. I know I am. John 6:60. Therefore, many of his disciples, who?
Disciples.
When they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? You know how many times we've been told that? I come to swords, but I don't understand the word. Dude, we're speaking English. And I know, I mean, if I got up here and spoke in Russian, I could see that. But if it's in English and you understand English, you should be able to understand some of it. And people are like, oh, no, man, don't go to that church. It's over. Do you know there's many churches like us that are preaching hardcore? Oh, wait till I bring something else to you. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. So, You know, we had a whole family come, and one of the kids gave them away. They came to Sunday school, and, you know, we teach our children like they are in class. They have little projects, they have fun, they have free days, they have movie days too. But we teach them the word. Right now they're learning about Noah and how his obedience saved the entire world, the planet. And what it takes when people ridicule you because you do the will of God sometimes. So, oh my God, I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. And you know why they left? That's a smart church. We don't want a smart church. The kid told me that. And I had heard the mom literally say that. Why does it have to be so intense? Why is it so deep? You know, and the prison worship should be very light and very flowy and very loving. You know, why do you guys sing like that? And she literally said, oh my God, and when you describe the words, the meanings of them, dude, that's how you know the truth. You find out what God was saying and not what the English is trying to say. But we were called the smart church, so they left because we were too smart. This is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Yeah, I don't want to go to church because today. Let's go somewhere else because they make me think. Oh my God. Oh my God. Knock, knock. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? When pastor or I teach the word, and it's unadulterated, and we're not asking anything of you other than to feed you, and you sit there and you reject it, Jesus is going to ask you, does this offend you that they're feeding you strong meat, that they want you to survive? Does this offend you? And that offend word means, does this trap you, trip you up, stumble you, apostasize you? That means you fall away, or displeasure you. We hold your feet to the fire, people. If you're struggling in your marriage and we say we got to walk in love with one another, you don't have a right to be offended at that. They don't know what I'm going through. We started the relationship seminars, and a guy pulled out his wife because he said, that's never going to work. That's never going to work. She's always going to do her thing. But the point is that once the man gets in his place, it's going to be a lot easier for her to get in her place. The time for this scripture is here. This is the scripture that God gave Pastor when he was a little puppy in the Lord. He was just starting in ministry. He warned him of this day. 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. In the Amplified, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold. We've had families leave because we teach that God wants to prosper you, but do it through God. Don't lay down your life to serve mammon. God, Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. They left. They got offended. Well, we're doing it our way and we're just leaving. You can't make up your own doctrines, people. We got to follow the word. Whenever it's slanted, it's the prophecy. Understand this. I am the word. If you then are not consuming the word, you are not receiving the life of the word that comes to you through the Son of Man. Only I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this offense is devastatingly meant to cut you off from me and the truth and the way I've given you to follow me before my return. as well as the life that I have given you with all its provisions. And what's coming up, people? The mark. You're not going to be able to buy and sell. If we depart from Jesus, he's our provision. He provided for the children of Israel. For 40 years, he fed them and clothed them, kept them warm, cooled them in the summer. So the truth becomes very important to us. So this, let's see. Okay, so it says, only I am the way, the truth, and the life. So this offense is devastatingly meant to cut you off from me and the truth and the way I've given you to follow me before my return, as well as the life I have given you with all its provisions. Now, very importantly, the truth is going to show us how to get ready for him. You can say you're ready all you want. There was 10 virgins. 5 of them were completely deceived. Oh, we're ready. We're ready. Look, where were the other guys? The guys that think they are ready. We're here. We're ready. God will show you how to get ready. God's been speaking to me, Eva. Mm-mm. Or Eva, yes, you're on the right track. This offense will cause you to stand naked without my help at an hour where this is not wise or prudent for you whatsoever. Matthew 11:6. And blessed is he who is not offended, entrapped, tripped up, stumble, or enticed to sin, who apostatizes, who walks away, or be in displeasure because of me. Jesus told us he is literally the Word made flesh. So if you get offended at the Word, you're getting offended at Christ. He is the Word. The blessed life is for those who will not get offended at God's Word. We're almost done, people. Matthew 24:10, and then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures, perseveres to the end, shall be saved. To save, deliver, or protect, heal, and preserve. We're going to be offended. Where's the offense going to be? Against God, against his word. Because if we're following God and we love the word, we're not going to get cold in our hearts. We're not going to be involved in lawlessness. We're going to stay the course. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So I warned you about this in my word, Matthew 24 especially, that in the last days, this offense that is working vehemently to deceive and to destroy my people is coming against my word in their lives. The word is being taken out of their lives. And at the same time, this offense is ushering in many false prophets and teachers that are rising in great numbers in this hour for the purpose of deceiving many. When you read Matthew 24 especially, he talks about deception over and over and over again. That the people of God, even the people of God, are going to be deceived by false prophets, false teachers, false doctrines. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
I urge you to love the truth. Love my word. It is your only salvation. Cling to that which is good and remove your foot from any evil. These decisions must be made now. When?
Now.
Now. Today, go home and think about your life. What is out of the way from Jesus? And take heed lest you fall into the hand of your enemy because you refuse to hear. If this doesn't make sense to you, I'm serious. This makes all the sense in the world. The devil is robbing the word, the true word from people, and the false prophets are coming in. And maybe that's why the remnant is only a third of the body of Christ. Judgment is coming, and it starts with my body, my church. John 12:48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. The word that we're rejecting is what's going to judge us on that day. And of course, the word is Jesus. But when you reject the word, that word's going to come back. I mean, let's say I get up to heaven and I'm like, Lord, I'm here. I made it. Woo, I'm so happy. And the Lord looks at me and he says, but you rejected my word. How, Lord? I told you to love your husband. I told you to pray for him. I told you to be good to him. And you rejected my word. We can't. It's time to do the word. Amen? And then in the Amplified, whoever rejects me and refuses to accept my teachings has one who judges him. The very word that I spoke will judge and condemn him on the last day. That's why he says over and over in his word that the doer is the one that's blessed, not just the hearer, the doer. Let's do the word. Let's love the word. Say, I love the word.
I love the word.
Amen. Oh, seriously? Oh, yeah, two more. This is it. Matthew 24:22. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. This is the chapter where Jesus talks about the end of time. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, the selected, the favored, and chosen, those that know God and God knows them. How does that happen? Through his word. Through his word. Those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Selected, favored, and chosen. If you don't love the word, if you don't seek after truth, you're going to be deceived. It's going to be a massive tidal wave that's going to wipe out a lot of believers. Now, 25. See, I have told you beforehand. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, his selected, his favored, and chosen from one end of heaven to the other. I didn't write this. God did. It's up to you to be chosen and selected because you remained sincere and truthful. You loved the truth. Some pastor has shared things with me that I wanted the earth to split and I wanted to be swallowed up because it was so intense and I couldn't hardly handle it and the conviction was so great. But I love the truth. I took it like a man. I sat there and said, I received that. He's coming for the elect people. The parable of the 10 virgins, we know it. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, concerning us. We're grafted in. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant, a remainder, a few, will be saved. It's your call. It is your call. And no amount of, how many, Jesus talked about this. There will be people coming up to him. But Lord, I was in church. I casted out demons. I did all these works in your name. And he's going to look at people and say, I never knew you. Depart from me. You know why? Because it's the narrow path. That narrow path is the word of God. That narrow path is Jesus. We don't look to the right. We don't look to the left. We come to church to get strong, to get fed, to receive truth. I promise you, we're one of many all around the world, but I promise you this little church will do its utter best to teach you the truth. That's all we can offer you. What you do with it is on you. Amen? But we want to be part of that remnant. And the way you do it, it's not because, oh God, I passed out 50,000 billion tracks and God has to accept me now. No, it's because you loved the word. You knew God from the word. Amen. Amen? Praise God. Did this help anybody?
Amen.